Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pelatro Limited's Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Orim Connect. As a reminder, all participant lines will be on listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Janhvi Patil from Orim Connect. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you. I am Janhvi Patil from Orim Connect, representing the investor relations team of Pelatro Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for joining us for the Q4 and FY26 earnings con call. Before we begin, I would like to state a brief cautionary statement. Some of the statements made during today's call may be forward-looking in nature. These forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that will cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied. These statements are based on management's current expectations, assumptions, and information available as of now. Investors are therefore advised not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements when making any investment decisions. The purpose of this call is to share insights into the company's business performance and financial results under review. Now, I am pleased to introduce the member of the management team present with us today, Mr. Subhash Menon, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sharad Hegde, Chief Financial Officer. With that, I now hand over to Mr. Subhash for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Indeed, a pleasure to host this conference and present to all of you, I mean, share our results to all of you. We have already uploaded the investor presentation for FY25-26 on our website, and we also have shared it with NSE. I presume all of you have received that, downloaded that, and have that particular deck with you. I will be, along with me, of course, is my colleague, Sharad Hegde, who's the CFO. The two of us will be taking you through the deck today. So we will call out the page number and go through the details of that particular each page. So at that point in time, you can follow on the copy of the deck that you have. Once again, welcome to this investor call, investor presentation. I must say that we have had an excellent year for more reasons than one. We acquired a company, and we have stabilized that operation. SL acquired the business of the company, SL Technologies. We're just welcoming all of you to the investor presentation, investor meet of Pelatro. Thank you very much for joining. Good evening. We have had an excellent year for more reasons than one. One reason is the business that we acquired from SL Technologies has stabilized and done exactly as we expected. So it's been the acquisition, in our opinion, is turning out to be quite good. We've had wonderful revenue growth, organic growth in our continuing business, which is the CBM division. We've had a very, very good growth. We'll talk about that. My colleague will talk about that shortly. And finally, our EBITDA has expanded during the year. So on all fronts, be it the transaction that we consummated, the acquisition, be it the organic growth, be it expansion of profit, I mean, higher profitability, on all fronts, we have done extremely well. And so that's what I would like to share with you right at the very beginning. For those who are joining this Pelatro investor call for the first time, who have not been part of this call, such a call in the past, if you go to slide three, you will see that we are a telecom software player with various software solutions, which we'll come to shortly. We serve about 46 telcos at this point in time across 35 countries. We've got 11 patents. We're continuously increasing that. We've got about 490-plus employees at this point in time. If you look at the next slide, you will see a map where our presence is noted, I mean, the different countries. So that's quite a busy slide. We are in, as I said, 35 countries. So it's been a very good ride for us till now in Asia and Africa with respect to customer penetration and growth. That brings me to the next slide, which is business overview. And after that, you've got the results highlights. To handle the next two, three slides, I will I'll hand you over to Sharath Hegde, who's the CFO, who has joined me on this particular call. Over to you, Sharath.
Thank you. Hello, all. Good evening and welcome to our con call. So slide number six is what I'll be handling now, which talks about all the key numbers from financials point of view. So first one is revenue. The revenue stood at 138.23 crores for the financial year ended 31st March 26. So this revenue grew by 61.2% year on year as compared to FY 25. Revenue of 138 crore has been a combination of contribution from both our continuing CVM division as well as the new acquired Estel division. So if we look at the divisions alone, CVM division alone has contributed a revenue of 116.5 crores with a growth of 36%, approximately 36% from that of last year. So FY25 is completely CVM division. So when we compare on that, there is a healthy 36% growth, so which clearly shows that the continuing business is very well poised to grow, I mean, has been growing very well and is poised to grow as well. The remaining 21.7 crore has come from Estel division, which we acquired earlier in FY26. So Estel revenue of this 21.7 crores actually represents a 9-month number because this division started operating only in July 25. So, being a 9-month number, Estel division has very much achieved a revenue number which is in line with what we had expected for the financial year. Which is a good thing, which is a happy thing. So, just to highlight, Estel division actually, when we acquired, had almost no pipeline, and happy to inform you all that it is steadily building a very healthy pipeline as we speak. The overall EBITDA stood at 31.5 crores from 18 crores from FY25. So EBITDA grew by 76% year on year. While the revenue growth was 61%, the EBITDA has grown at 76%, which is furthering the non-linearity effect that we have been witnessing for the past 2 years. The EBITDA margins too are steadily expanding, which was 20.9% for FY25 and is now 22.8%, which has been the expectation as well. So, while we are speaking about EBITDA, maybe some of you might want to look at EBITDA numbers or EBITDA growth excluding other income. So we have had other income last year as well, and we have had other income this year as well. So FY25, we had other income of 3.8 crores roughly, while FY26, the other income was 5.5 crores. So even if we exclude these, we can still see a steep EBITDA growth between the 2 years, FY25 and FY26. The margins too can be seen as expanded. We can see that the margins too have been expanding even without the other income. The PAT grew year on year by 52%, which now stands at 18.1 crore as against 11.9 crores last year. EPS growth has been good as well at 17 as against 13.16 last year. The next slide, slide 7, actually takes us through segmental details. There are a few details between the continuing CVM division as well as the new Estel division segments that we have been reporting. So as mentioned previously, CVM revenue has been at 116.5 crores, whereas Estel has given us a 21.7 crore revenue. The CVM EBITDA stood at 28 crores and Estel's EBITDA stood at 3.4 crores. So while CVM achieved a 24.1% EBITDA growth, EBITDA margin, Estel being a new division has achieved a very healthy EBITDA margin of 15.6%. So, we expect this Estel's EBITDA margins to grow in the years to come, and we also expect it to come closer to that of CVM division's margin over the next few years. That's on the segment side. Then the next slide talks about a few key financial ratios, wherein we have given return on net worth, return on capital employed, as well as debt equity. So return on net worth and return on capital employed have been growing steadily, so from 14.97% in FY 2025 to 17.4% in FY 2026. ROCE has grown to 20.36% from 18.37%. So this growth is in line with the, I mean, this growth basically reaffirms the number growth that we have spoken in the previous slide. The debt equity has been steadily coming down as well, as we have not been adding any major debt, and the existing debts have been steadily being repaid. So these are a few key financial items. I'll hand it over to our chairman back for the remaining slides.
Thanks, Sharat. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you. So the next slide, which is slide number 9, is about AI. Now, as we all know, the elephant in the room at this point in time is AI. Everybody is concerned about it. Everybody's wondering whether it's going to help or hurt the business. So we are taking the bull by the horns here. We are looking at various aspects and working on that. So I would like to update you all on that front. So this slide talks about two key areas where AI could or will impact us. One is on the product itself, as to whether we keep on bringing various AI capabilities into the platform, which the customers will be expecting to ensure that the product remains current. The next thing is on the development side, I mean, development coding test, I mean, that's testing implementation support. In various areas, today AI is penetrating. The use of LLMs is increasing. So how will that impact? So these are two areas that we need to be concerned about, we need to work upon. The next slide talks about the first area, which is product features, slide number 10. There you will see that we have already launched a platform called mViva Revenue Acceleration Platform, which covers a variety of GenAI, LLM-driven AI features. Those are AI agents, copilots, zero-touch campaigning. These aspects, these take our entire product capability to a completely different level, and that will ensure that as we are constantly delivering these capabilities to our customers, that will ensure continued product leadership. So not only won't our product become obsolete, but it will also actually keep on adding capabilities and leading from the front with respect to product capabilities. So when you go to various telcos, they will see that our product is absolutely current and futuristic and exactly what they're looking for. And that will then lead to higher growth for us. So on the product features front, we are definitely doing an excellent job with respect to whatever we need to do. And we are absolutely confident that this is the way to go on the product feature front. The next slide, which is slide number 11, talks about software development. So here it is all about ensuring that we bring in efficiencies into our software development activities, we reduce costs, etc. That's where AI will be used. We are already using LLM in coding, to develop various models, to handle support functions, to handle a variety of testing activities, for implementation activities. So across the spectrum of activities that we handle with respect to software development, we are already handling LLM, using LLM. Now, this would mean the cost will come down. So cost per dollar of revenue will definitely come down. We will keep, I mean, as we move forward, as it is, our business is non-linear, which means we don't have to add for every dollar of revenue, we don't have to have increase the same number of people. That's our non-linearity, which is already there in our business. On top of that, with this lower cost per dollar of revenue because of AI usage, the increase in manpower will come down even further. So that will be the second lever. And this will be visible in the next 18 to 24 months. And this will also result in improved quality, better reputation, etc. resulting in higher growth as we move forward. On the AI front, I think we are absolutely ensuring that we are leveraging the power of AI to deliver a futuristic product, to continue to deliver a futuristic product, and to ensure that our own development activities are moving forward in a cost-effective manner by reducing costs, improving quality, shortening the time to market, etc. That brings me to the next slide, which is slide number two. This lists the products that we have. I won't spend time on this. We have repeated this multiple times, and it's fairly straightforward. In the CVM division, we've got five products and managed services which go around that. They all come together to form what's called a revenue acceleration platform. We spoke about AI capabilities in our products. Those capabilities are getting added, have been added in all these products. So we're not calling that out separately on this slide. So AI capabilities, LLM capabilities, GenAI capabilities, those are all part of every product that we are seeing here. And that brings me to the next slide. That's the list of products for the SL division. We've got three products in SL division, and there are managed services going around that, along with that. Again, we have repeated this multiple times. I won't spend time. If anybody has any specific question at any point, once we get to the Q&A, I can explain those products. Now we come to the next slide, 14. I'll hand you over to Sharath, my colleague, for the next two slides.
Thank you, Asim. So slide number 14 speaks about the revenue model. So we basically divide our revenue into two major buckets. One is repeat revenue and then one-time revenue. The repeat revenue is further divided into recurring revenue and reoccurring revenue. So recurring revenues are essentially contracted revenues that keep repeating at every fixed intervals, say monthly, quarterly, or half yearly or annually, depending on the contract. So these are basically fixed license fee, like for customers who would go for a license subscription model instead of a one-time license purchase. So there will be a monthly fixed license fee, which is one of the major parts of recurring revenue. Then we have AMC for the customers who have taken up licenses, the annual maintenance contract. Then there is managed services. Managed services essentially have three major items: the IT operations, which is basically technical support; the business planning, which is basically helping the customers plan their campaigning activities, etc.; and then business operations, which help them to actually launch these campaigns and operate them. The final thing in the recurring revenue is gain share. So with certain customers, we do have contracts wherein if they earn incremental revenue out of the platform, a part of that will be shared with us. So that's the recurring revenue part. And then there is reoccurring revenue. Reoccurring revenues are basically change requests, which are customizations from existing customers. Like customers' needs keep changing every now and then, and they would probably need some new features some new customizations, etc., which are very much repetitive in nature because they keep coming every now and then from these customers. So the recurring and reoccurring revenue put together is what forms the repeat revenue, so which come from the existing set of customers. The one-time revenue is basically perpetual license and implementation fee. So a higher repeat revenue, a combination of recurring and reoccurring revenue, is actually a very good indicator for our business, wherein a higher repeat revenue as compared to one-time revenue will give us a better view of the future revenue, a better revenue predictability, etc. So the next slide gives us a revenue bifurcation. So as I was saying, higher repeat revenue, a repeat revenue which is more than 75% of the total revenue is always a good thing for the business, and we would like to keep it that way. So for FY26, the recurring revenue was 60% and reoccurring was 22%, giving us a total repeat revenue of 82%, which is a very good indicator, and one-time revenue was 18%. So, I mean, we expect, although it will not be same year on year, we expect it to be anywhere above 75%. So that's on the revenue as well as the revenue bifurcation. Back to you.
Okay. Thanks, Sharad. Presume you are able to hear me. Sharad, are you all able to hear me?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So now I'm on slide 16, which shows the number of customers. We already touched upon this earlier, 46 customers spread across 35 countries. And out of those 46 customers, about 31, this is as on 31st December, not March 31st, we have 31 of them using managed services from us. Now, this is a lever for growth. As we continue, we will keep on increasing the penetration of managed services within our existing customers. As you can see, as the graphs indicate, there was a time when it was a much lesser percentage, and it's continuously increasing. Moving to the next slide, this is about the market penetration and opportunity. When we look at the products that we have at this point in time and compute the potential market opportunity, we see a size of about 12,000 crores as opportunity. So we are only at about 1% of the market at this point in time, maybe a little over 1%. There is still a very long way to go. But when we look at the market penetration with respect to customers, how many telcos have we penetrated? That is 10%. Today, we are at about 46 out of 450 telcos. Now, the reason why these numbers are different, when one is 1%, the other one is 10%, is because even where we have penetrated into a telco, we have not yet sold all the products that we have and all the services that we can sell. So if we were to sell all the products and all the services to this particular set of 46 telcos, then our size will also be equal to 10% of the market size. But that's not the case today. We have got only 1% of the market size in rupee terms, while market penetration is 10%. Now, but this market penetration is important because it is not practical to expect to sell all the products to every telco customer we have. This doesn't work. So we have to keep increasing market penetration and keep increasing our penetration of products and services within each telco as well. So those are two levers of growth. So today we are at 10% in market penetration. Over the next 4 or 5 years, we expect that to be of the order of about 20 or 25%. So that will be one area of growth. The next will be, today our product penetration, I think, is about 1.3 products. You can see that written. We've got 8 products. And we've got our penetration is only 1.3. So at some point, I mean, in the next 4 or 5 years, our objective would be to take it to 2 or 2.5 products per telco. So that would also mean much higher, you know, revenue coming from each telco. So it is about going into more telcos and at the same time going deeper within each telco. These are two very strong growth levers that we have, and we'll keep working on those two levers. The next slide, which is slide number 18, talks about our key strength. We've got a very end-to-end offering. It's highly referenceable. We've got some excellent customers, very large customers, including the likes of Vodafone Idea at about 250 plus million subscribers and several other large ones at 80 million, 90 million, 100 million subscribers. We have a lot of patented technology which helps us differentiate from our competition. We've got very, very deep domain expertise. We're handling very large volumes of transactions. So there are various aspects which are very critical and very unique to us at this point in time, which form our key strength when we go and stand in front of a potential customer to sell our product or products. And these then naturally become more for others to, you know, cross and enter. So they become barriers for others to enter. And that's what I'm now referring to in the next slide, which is the investment rationale, slide number 19. So I will, this is not in any particular order. I've just listed them there. So we spoke about market penetration. So we already have a very good penetration of 10%. We are constantly increasing it. and I'm absolutely confident of somewhere between, you know, 20 to 25% in the next 4 to 5 years, at which point in time we'll be handling more than 100 telcos at, you know, with respect to servicing them with at least one product. And I believe it will be higher than the current 1.3 product penetration. So one is market penetration, one is product penetration. That will also increase. Services will increase. With all that, the revenue per customer will keep increasing. AI for us is a differentiating factor. We are absolutely soaring with AI. We have brought in a lot of interesting features, very attractive features, very valuable features and capabilities for our telco customers. So that will help us maintain our leadership and continue on the growth path with respect to organic growth. And at the same time, we are also reducing our cost. So that will help the non-linearity to increase further. I spoke about the higher barrier to enter, the kind of product, the kind of technology we have, the references that we have, the technologies that we have used, the patents that we have, and various aspects, the volume that we are handling, the domain expertise that we have, all these come together to form a very, very high barrier for potential competition to enter. Coming to the numbers, visibility and predictability. We have got extremely high visibility in our business. As we look at the current financial year, FY26-27, although we're talking about financial year ended FY26, I would like to touch upon the new financial year, FY27. As we started the year, we had 82% of revenue already contracted. So of the expected revenue for 26-27, we've got a particular internal target. Of that internal target of revenue, we have already got 82% in contracts with us, contracts in hand. So that means we only need to win and execute another 18%. And I'm sure that some of you might remember that in the last year, by September 25, we had 100% contracted situation. And currently, we are at 82% for this year. Let's see how that progresses. I'm sure it will progress very well. So this gives us a lot of visibility and predictability in the business. So when I look at next year, FY28, already a lot of revenues for that is contracted because of the recurring revenues that we have. So as time goes by, the visibility and predictability will increase. Now with all of this, the penetration that we have, the barrier to competition, visibility, predictability, AI that we are leveraging, et cetera, we are absolutely confident of excellent growth in the years to come, and we are committing to at least 15% annual growth on revenue, organic growth. So if there's some acquisition, that'll be on top of this. Organic growth of 15% at least over the next 5 years on an annual basis every year. And while that happens, EBITDA will also grow in the next 3 to 4 years, 2 to 3 years, maybe even. EBITDA will be at a higher level than what it is today. And in the past, we have stated that in our kind of business, I'll be happy when we get to 30% EBITDA. And I think that that's also something that could happen in the next 2 to 3 years, while the revenue itself will grow at 15% every year. With that, I hand you over to Sharat, if you want to touch upon anything on the financials. Otherwise, we can throw the floor open for Q&A.
Okay, thank you. So, on the financials, we have already spoken on all the key numbers. So in addition to that, we do have Q4 numbers given separately in the income statement on slide 21 for those who are interested to go through. I think with that, we can open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Abhi Jain from AJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had two questions. first, obviously, on the threat of AI, and the more data and the more information and the more confirmation that we get from you, you know, the better it is for our understanding and confidence. So shooting directly, coming directly to that, you know, I understand from your slides and from your deck, you know, how you're integrating AI into the product suite, right? Using LLMs to do the campaign management and for all the data and analytics, etc. That part I understand. What part I would want to understand further is that for any of your clients, right, earlier the problem usually was that, you know, it was very difficult for any small telecom player or any telecom player otherwise also to build an in-house software. Now, the problem with these generic LLMs and these generic AIs is that cost has, you know, shot down drastically. The generic LLMs can help them build all the features of a campaign manager, including data analytics, everything. The only thing that remains that cannot be done is probably live integration with the real-time data of the customer. So I just want to understand that going forward, how are you protected from that? How do customers not only use you only for the integration layer? They can have their in-house generic LLM, right, which does all the data management, all the campaign management, everything. But and use you only for the integration layer. So there I wanted some more clarity that why is that not a viable threat for your business?
Okay. Good question. We don't believe that is going to happen because of the overall complexity of a product like campaign management. It is, and people may say, what is it? You just take some campaigns you just take some subscriber segments, you plan a campaign being buy this, get that free, and shoot it out. It's as simple as that is what you will think. The concept is that simple. To understand the product is that simple. But the nuances are very many. Now, if you take something called a state flow in our product, this is a journey builder. Now, typical journey for a typical telco, I mean, imagine a flow chart. Now, that's the journey, right? I mean, we all understand flow charts. Now, imagine a flow chart with about 250 or 300 boxes, as in one box and various branches in that. You can't have 250 boxes in a serial fashion, right? One after the other. It doesn't work like that. You start with one box, then you have three branches. Then you go into that, then you have multiple branches coming from each of these branches, and then for the branches. That's how the flowchart works. So imagine a large flowchart with 250 or 300 boxes of decision making, action, and stuff like that. Imagine constructing a software to do something like that. It is extremely complex. Extremely complex. Now, first of all, you should know how to tell AI to do something like this. The whole prompt engineering will have to go to a completely different level, a totally different orbit, to be able to even think of building something like that. And even if you have that kind of prompt engineering, it is not practical because of the complexity of that. Now, trust me, we have tried this internally to know whether it works or not. It doesn't work. This was the first question we asked ourselves as well, as to will the telcos do that? And this we asked some time ago, and we have the answer now because we tried ourselves. No, it just doesn't work. Now, this is just one feature in our product. There are hundreds of features like this which have to work together in a very well-coordinated manner. And then you have got all the challenges of the integration as well. So, if they try to do that, it will easily take them, whether they can do it or not is a secondary question, but if they really try, it'll probably take them a year to do something like this, if at all they try. What is the point? And because in that year, then who's going to maintain it? Who's going to keep upgrading it? Now, today our customers all ask us, a telco sees only their business in their country. They don't see what's happening in 30 countries, in other markets, in other geographies. They don't know what is going on in the world. They keep asking us about it. And that knowledge goes into a product. They don't have access to that knowledge. So that's why they keep asking us. So, in short, what will happen is, if at all they develop something, what they develop will be substandard, will be way behind what we have even today. Forget about what we will have tomorrow. So it is much cheaper and more sensible for them. And I'm not even thinking about how many tokens they will have to buy to do all this, okay? I'm not even thinking about it. So it'll be much cheaper for them and more sensible for them to rely on somebody like us. So I don't think this is a threat, and that's based on practical experience.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that helps. My second question was around recurring revenue, because I think that is one very important part of any software business. I just want to understand for your legacy clients or for your top 10 clients who have been your customer for more than 3-4 years now, in terms of the recurring revenue, has there been an annual increase in contract value? I mean, that can always be linked to, you know, inflation, etc. But generally, I don't want to understand from a product suite perspective and from an increase in module perspective. For example, you're just saying that, you know, in the presentation, you mentioned that on an average, a customer uses 1.3 of your products, right, out of the 8 product suite that you have. So I just want to understand that the contract value that you're seeing increasing across your top customers, has it come on the back of, you know, the increase in the product suite used by the customers? Has it come on the back of, you know, customer more users of the module of the product at the client end? Or has it just been inflationary increase? So if you can just throw some light on that to understand whether, you know, your legacy customers are getting more entrenched in the company.
It really comes from us selling more modules, more capabilities, features, more services, etc. That is where, whether it's in the form of a recurring license fee or recurring AMC, recurring managed services, it all comes from new things being done. Generally, we sign 3 or 5 year contracts, and the prices for, so if it's a support fee in a year or a license fee in a year, something like that, that stays constant for the 3-year or 5-year period. It doesn't have an inflation related increase. So when we price it, what we do is, we take this year's price, we apply inflation for, if it's a 5-year contract, we apply inflation for the next 5 years, then we average it out to get to an annual number. So we're not losing out because of inflation. We are averaging it out and coming up with a fixed number. That's what they prefer. At the end of 5 years, when they renew, yes, it will go up, but not till then. So during that 5-year period, the real increase is because of all the new features, functionalities, modules, services, etc., which they buy from us.
Perfect. Just going forward, can you just throw some more light around this in your presentation, just to help us understand whether, you know, there is an uptrend in terms of more product suites being used by the customer? And the 15% revenue growth that you're targeting for, do you have any sense, or can you give us any sense in terms of, you know, breaking it down between inflation and volume growth? So typically, in any other business, you understand, right, that there's a value and a volume growth. In your case,
This is on a constant currency basis, just the volume growth. I mean, that's what you're calling it, yeah.
Okay. So inflationary adjusted, you're talking about.
Yeah, that will sit on top of this. So, yeah.
So, yeah, just going forward, if you can just throw more light around this, you know, customer use of products. That's
all right.
Yeah, okay, for my case, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Varun Gandhi from Finn Avenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead. Varun, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Hey, Subhash, thank you for the details, and thank you for, you know, outlining your growth aspiration and outlining the key strengths that would enable you to achieve that aspiration that you've said. But on that, could you elaborate more on the sales strategy here? You said you wish to add more logos, and you also wish to expand or go deeper within your existing logos, right? Could you help me elaborate your sales strategy or in terms of not just your employees, but also the sales pitch, because I'm sure your new telco clients would also be having these platforms. So how do you wish or how do you intend on displacing the existing platforms? I'm just trying to get a sense of all of that.
Right. It is actually, I don't know whether this is a good answer or a bad answer for you, but the real answer is that it is no different from what we have done over the past 10 years. We go and pitch all the new capabilities and the futuristic capabilities to our customers and establish that we have a product which is way better than what they have today and which is something which will be future-proof for them. That is, if they come with us, it will be future-proof for them. So this is one thing. We establish our referenceability there. We ask them to check with our existing customers for reference check and stuff like that. And that establishes a variety of things about us, our support capability, product capabilities, and all those things. So these are, that's the core. I mean, that's our, of course, we will keep adding more people as and when we require to cover, to have bandwidth and stuff like that. So that's part of the course. But the strategy really is about having the best product out there and then ensuring that we are able to get ambassadors who will vouch for the product in the form of existing customers. Really, that's what it is. These are the two key elements of our sales strategy, something we have done all along the way.
Got you. But is there anything more tangible that you could share in terms of how do you approach a new client or a new geography? Trade fairs or references?
Okay. Yeah, that I can tell you. So we have got various ways. So we use online tools like Lusha. We use LinkedIn quite extensively to reach out to people. We have got our marketing on a regular, every week we have two or three outreach, campaigns which go to a very large set of potential customers and we get leads coming out of it. These days we attend two large trade shows every year and one trade show of our own, which is called CBM Executive Forum. So we invite people to that, customers and non-customers as well. So there are three trade shows which we go to. So it's a combination of, and there's inside sales where they directly call up potential customers and pitch to them. So it's a combination of, going through these, apps like LinkedIn and Lusha and others. It is also general marketing strategy where we send campaigns to, we use LinkedIn, we use Twitter, we use other things for campaigns. Then there are trade shows. Then, of course, there's word of mouth, not to forget, our existing customers, spreading the word. We go to the, if we have one telco, one opco within a group, we go to other group opcos as well. So this is another way of doing it. For example, we had Sudatel in the Sudani group, Sudani in the Sudatel group initially. Now we work with Shingitel, we work with Expresso. There are three of them in the same group. So we went to them, took the reference of the first customer and used that. So it's a combination of all of that.
Understood. Would you be able to share any example where you've successfully been able to displace an incumbent competitor or a peer platform?
Every contract we have won is by replacing either another vendor or an internal product. And that I would say about 98% of customers have come. Maybe one or two of them have come through replacement of internal products. The other 44 would have come through, replacing a vendor, a competitor. There are no green fields. It's all brown fields.
Understood. That's reassuring to know that. And lastly, when you said you want to, deepen relationships with your existing clients, upsell them more modules, where is the challenge over there? Why haven't we been able to move beyond that 1.3, on an average 1.3, the metric that you earlier disclosed in the presentation? Just trying to understand where is the challenge and how are you tackling it?
Telco sales is a very slow sales process. It's a very long sales cycle. On an average, you will say about 10 to 12 months. There are cases where we have to knock on the door for 2 years before we get an entry. It's also because telcos are extremely risk averse. So replacement is something that they do only when they are absolutely certain. So it takes time. So really it is that. It is just a natural sales cycle, which is taking time. And the fact that it's not that our competition is sitting doing nothing, so they're also doing something. So it's a combination of all of that. So it's a slow grind. It takes time, and we're working on that. So there's no specific challenge. It's just the usual sales activity and the sales cycle and all that.
Understood. Now that we have AI on our side, do you think the implementation and the sales cycle should ideally reduce? Since,
the sales cycle will not reduce. It's got nothing to do with AI. It's the speed at which a telco takes the decision. We have no control over that. Implementation time, yes, will reduce.
Right. So the telco is usually just your corporate inertia.
Telco is like that. There's a lot of inertia there. There's a lot of risk averseness there. There's a lot of bureaucracy there. So when they say we'll do it very fast, they mean they'll do it in 3 months. So that's the way. Yeah.
Again, thanks for sharing the details. Welcome. I'll join back. Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone. Next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. So just wanted to understand that when you're talking about a higher, product, penetration and market penetration, isn't 15% growth a bit too conservative, sir? Because even in, even standalone CVM division has, performed, I think you said 25% better than last year. So, sir, just wanted to get your thoughts on that, sir.
The standalone CVM, or I don't want to call it standalone. I mean, then I don't want to get that to be confused with consolidated. The CVM organic growth from last year to this year was 36%, I believe. Sharat, am I right?
Yeah, that was 36%.
Yeah, it was 36%, not 25%. If you look at the last 2-3 years, we have been growing at a frantic pace. I don't want to be committing anything more than 15% at this point in time, but you can look at, read all the other signs and signals and the track record and all that and come up with a number that you feel is appropriate.
Okay. Fair enough. Got the point, sir. And so I just wanted to understand, like, in terms of, like, competitive landscape, because as you said, like, telcos take a lot of time for something to be finalized. So just a two-parter. So once, we are able to get into a company, then how sticky is that? And what is the competitive landscape right now, for us, sir?
Okay, so, I don't want you all to think that, telcos are really bad organizations, they take time and all that. So let me add some positive side to it. Their business is very complex. Even if there are only like 3 telcos in the country, it's a very competitive market. MNP is there. So somebody can move from one telco to another telco at the drop of a hat. So it's a very competitive market for them. It's a very complex market for them. That's why they are extremely careful and risk averse and they take time. So it's that is to their, that we need to understand that. So if we were sitting there running a telco, probably we will do the same. I mean, it's because of the nature of the business. Now, once we get in, we really stay there. So in 10 years, we have not been pretty much replaced anywhere other than in one organization where they actually, the ownership changed hands and they wanted, they want to bring something which they've been doing internally for in the earlier thing for a long time or something like that. And there was a language issue. It was, they wanted everything to be in Russian and not English. So that's where we got replaced. So that's been it. In 10 years, in one. So I don't even consider that as a, great number to focus on. So we don't get replaced. Now, we could get replaced if we are not current, if we become obsolete, if our support levels are bad. So it's actually up to us to ensure. So really, we may lose out. We may get replaced because of a political reason. So that was what happened when that telco. It was a political reason. If there is no political reason, there will never be, I believe, a technical reason for us to be replaced. We will never lose out because of technology, product capability, and stuff like that. we could lose out because of, this is also the primary reason why we lose, why we don't win some of them. Political reason. And political reason, I don't want to be listing what the reasons are. I'm covering a variety of things under this term political reason. I hope all of you understand. So there are various things there. So we lose out because of political reasons, and we could get replaced because of political reasons, but not because of technical reasons.
Okay, that's really great to hear about it, sir. And so just last, sir, one bookkeeping question. So what is the tax rate that, you know, we operate under? Currently, what I could look at it, it is sub 10%. So just like, could you help us out with that, sir?
Yeah. Okay. So the effective tax rate for current year has been around 7 to 8%. But I mean, so tax rate, effective tax rate depends on a lot of things. I mean, on a consolidated level, we have profits flowing in from our Singapore subsidiary, our UAE subsidiary as well. And I mean, which are mostly at a lower tax rate zone. And Singapore subsidiary also has some carry forward losses that we are utilizing. And further, like there will be certain foreign taxes that would have got deducted while payments come in, and we get some rebates out of that depending on, the global income and a ratio of that and all. So given all that, so it varies, but I would say a 10% effective tax rate is something that we can work with for the current financial year and maybe a year and two.
Okay, fair enough. That's it from my side. So thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. In order to ensure that management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue if time permits. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Murtaza from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. I hope I'm audible.
You are.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on the good set of number and the successful acquisition. And so just a couple of questions. Firstly, I just wanted to understand the kind of contracts we sign in terms of what sort of renewal period do we have, and how do we price in our increase in prices? Do our renewals stay flat, or how does it work? If you could just put some light on it.
You're asking whether we get increased price every year, or we ask for renewal, or when we renew, we ask. I mean, I didn't quite get the question.
Yeah. So, like, I just wanted to understand, like, in general, what, how long are the contracts, and how
okay.
do we, yeah.
Okay. So, as I stated earlier, our contracts are either 3 years or 5 years, generally. So, the price is fixed for that period of 3 years or 5 years. Subsequent to that, when a contract renewal happens, we would go in and try to increase that, increase the price to the extent we can.
Okay. And that's
when we actually... It's very subjective. There's no rule or something that I can tell.
Right. And secondly, sir, I just also wanted to understand what sort of geographic pockets are we looking into to add on some new logos, if you just have any in our minds, or are we particularly tapping onto?
We are continuing to focus on Asia, Africa, and Middle East at this point, because there's still a lot to be done in these geographies. We have not reached anywhere in the form of penetration, or rather, let's say, saturation there, because if you take these three geographies, we are probably talking about some 250 to 300 telcos, something like that. It's a very large number of telcos. So there is a long way to go, and we are continuing to focus on this. And at some, we are also looking at Latin America to some extent, but not as much as we are looking at these geographies.
Understood. Just one final question. I just wanted to understand, what is our long-term vision taking into play our CPM division and our STL division? Like, are we planning to have an integrated stack where we just put in all our products at one place, or is it more of a separate offering that we'll be giving to our clients, or how are we planning?
So the products that we have, they actually handle very different activities, so that's why we have 8 separate products. them being in two separate divisions is just only a matter of convenience. It really means nothing, but we will be selling them as separate products. I mean, they will of course come together to sit on a platform if need be. They are well integrated. All those things are there, but they will continue to be separate products.
Okay. Understood. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Varun Gandhi from Finn Avenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Vash, just as a follow-up from the previous participant's question, how exactly, if you could just quantify on the pipeline and where do you see that going in terms of conversion?
The pipeline is continuing to expand as we target more and more customers for two reasons. One, as we have more customers, from the same customers, we get more stuff coming in. So that will increase the pipeline. Then there are new potential customers adding to the pipeline. So pipeline is continuing to grow. Our conversion typically is to the tune of about 30-odd% of qualified pipeline. Okay. A qualified pipeline, not the raw pipeline, a qualified pipeline.
And by qualified, you mean
how do you define qualified? There has to be an RFI or an RFP out.
Understood.
It can't be just, you know, we went to them, they said, we would like to have it. And that is where the discussion is at this point in time. That's not qualified. If when they say yes, they are interested and they float an RFI or an RFP to, when they actually kick start a process, that's when it becomes a qualified pipeline.
Understood. Also, yeah. I was looking to get some sense of what the revenue concentration is in terms of number of, the top 5 customers or the top 10 customers. Any number that you could share?
Sharad, would you have that at this point in time?
Yeah. So top 5 customers are around 39 to 40%. So top 10 are around 60% at this point in time. So top 5 was around 45% last year, so which has slightly reduced. And top
in
10
the next
has
3-4 years. Yeah. In the next 3-4 years, I would expect top 10 to be in the region of only about 20-25%. It'll keep coming down.
Okay. All right. So you're looking to make the revenue more granular.
I mean, most widespread. As we keep on increasing more customers and each customer also grows within us, naturally these numbers
naturally increase.
Yeah.
Of course. All right. Got it. That's it from me. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Right.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Hansraj Patil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. This is Hansraj. I just had a question about the company is growing very fast and we know that a lot of R&D spends are going on. Is there going to be any additional capital requirement actually?
No. I mean, we are adequately, from a capital expenses perspective, we are not heavy on that. It's a very light model. Whatever numbers you have seen, that will kind of continue going forward as well. So it's not a large number to talk about actually.
Because I was talking in terms of, because we are spending a lot of money on the AI development and futures, right? And then we also
all that is being written off as well, right?
Okay.
So when I say capital expenditure, I really mean only the computing infrastructure.
Okay. So next foreseeable future, like 2-3 years, we don't have any plans to debt or equity, nothing.
To what? To dilute equity to raise money for capital? Expenditure.
I'm saying in next 2-3 years, whether we want to acquire a company or we want to grow the company, we don't have any plans to raise any additional liquidity or debt, right?
No, to grow the company organically, absolutely no, we don't need to. To acquire businesses, whether we'll do it or not, I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Janvi Patil from Orim Connect for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. On behalf of the...
I would like to add a couple of comments, please.
Yeah, sure, sir.
So we have discussed the numbers, we have discussed the business aspect and all that. So I would like to leave you all with this thought that the business is growing very well organically, excluding the other income, because people know that most of the other income comes from your forex movement. Excluding the other income, if you look at our EBITDA growth, you will see it is upwards of 80%, while the organic revenue growth has been, while the total growth has been, not organic, including acquisition, has been 61%. So whether you look at it from an organic standpoint or including acquisition, including the other income or excluding the other income, whichever way you look at it, you will see that profit or EBITDA has grown faster than revenue. That is non-linearity. And that non-linearity will continue in the years to come, will only accelerate because of AI. This is a thought I would like to leave with you, and the fact that we are leveraging AI, we are using that, and we believe that that will help us to produce even better results in the year to come. That's it from my side. Thank you. Please go ahead from Orim.
Thank you everyone for joining the call today. On behalf of Pilatro Limited, we appreciate your time and participation. For any further queries, please reach out to us at letsconnect@orim.in. Thank you everyone.
Thank you members of the management. On behalf of Orim Connect, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect tonight.